Hi, I'm Kaylee, a college student and pretend journalist who was conceived with donor sperm in 1999. This is Message in a Bottle.
Hi, welcome to the show, or welcome back. This is the fourth episode and the first one where I have a conversation with someone in the donor-conceived world who isn't a part of my family. I sat down with Morgan, a 26-year-old donor-conceived person who was raised by two moms. A few years ago, Morgan got some shocking news when she learned that her donor, years after she was born, donated sperm to a larger national sperm bank, resulting in at least 50 half-siblings who are much younger than her. She was super easy to talk to, and I found our conversation to be really interesting. Hopefully, you agree. Hers is a pretty crazy story, but I'll let Morgan introduce herself and explain how it all happened.
This is not like a clean podcast either, right?
No, you can swear.
Okay. Okay, great. Lovely.
All right.
It would happen anyway, but...
I know. Okay. Well, perfect. Hello.
Hello.
So, Morgan. So, where are you... I feel bad because it's like when we become a certain age, you're like, you're not supposed to ask women how old they are, but...
Like, okay. Whatever. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm 26. Yeah. Well, I'm originally from upstate New York. Like actually upstate, because I live in New York City now. So I've learned being a New York Citier that saying you're from upstate, people who are from here, like, oh, so like Yonkers, it's like, no. Actually upstate. So like the Ithaca area, it's like where Cornell University is, like central western New York. And then I went to college in Boston and now I'm in New York City. So that's cool. Kind of been my little journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an East Coast person as well.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Connecticut and now
I didn't actually get to finish it because I was listening to it this morning, the podcast you did with your half sibling. So I learned a little bit about you.
I told Morgan about how the podcast began as a school project, but has since evolved, mostly due to my recent discovery of the online donor conceived community.
I didn't know that this whole Facebook group existed until I was doing like more of the research for the project. And I was like, oh, wow. Like so many of these people have very different experiences than myself and are older, and it's just very different. So
yeah. And all the secrecy, it's yes. Uh-huh. I also was introduced to the Facebook page. I was not looking for it, but somebody shared it with me. I mean, we can get into like my whole story, but yeah. And also it was very surprising to learn, like, cause of course you have your own experience and then you find out that people have like such different experiences than you. And it's kind of like, whoa, that's really interesting. Cause I knew some donor conceived people growing up cause I have lesbian parents and knew other gay families.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them had like super different experiences than me. So yeah, it was very interesting. Like you said, to hear just the range of people's experiences.
Mm-hmm. So you have two moms. So what was that? I mean, so do I, but so it's very, yeah. I think maybe it was because I grew up in Connecticut and just this area, like I did not know other kids with two moms, like maybe a small handful. And I haven't met other donor conceived people until recently besides my own half sibling. So mm-hmm. you have a different experience.
Yeah. I mean, so Ithaca where I grew up is very liberal, progressive, gay, hippie, like kind mm-hmm. of, it was, I mean, it wasn't like the norm, but it was also not unusual at all. And growing up in elementary school, actually, we had a chapter of Collage, which I don't know if that still exists, but it's, I don't know what it stands for, but it's basically a student club. And it's like a national, I think, organization for kids of gay and lesbian or LGBT, like the full range, who have parents, you know, who are LGBT. And so I was in that group, you know, in elementary school, and there were, you know, maybe 10 or so students that were in it. I don't think that was the full necessarily, I don't know that every single kid in the school who could have been in the club was, but there was that group, there, and not all of them were donor conceived because some of them had, you know, a trans parent who could have a child with their other parent, you know, so like, it wasn't always donor conceived, but most of them were, and so I knew other kids who had sperm donors. And so it was more, it sounds like it was more kind of just not, again, not normal, but that there were others out there when I was growing up, that I knew. So it wasn't as like a weird thing.
Right. Yeah.
It would have been if there was just nobody.
Right. Yeah. People would always react. So yeah, like I felt very like unicornish in my mm-hmm. group of friends growing up, for sure.
It wasn't even like a conversation. Like I couldn't tell you when I like found out. It was like, I mean, I guess it's just sort of, it's obvious, like obviously your parents couldn't make you, the two of them. So,
right.
You know, but it wasn't, there wasn't like a talk or a conversation. It was kind of just like,
yeah, you just always
were your parents. And like, also you have a sperm donor.
Yeah, me too. So yeah. What did you know about him as a kid? Did you have like a piece of like information or?
Yeah. I mean, it's so weird again, and this has only been the last like 5 years where I've like found out more about other people who had such different experiences than me, but it was such not a big deal at all growing up. Like I didn't care to like know much about him or wanted to find him or anything. I didn't even really think of him and almost still don't think of him as like a real person. Like, I mean, obviously now, like, yes, he's a human being. He lives somewhere, he does whatever. And now we actually kind of know who he is, but I never even really thought of him as a person. It was just like, yeah, I have a donor, and it wasn't a big deal. I think maybe around like high school was the first time that I was kind of like, oh, like what information do you have? Like, you know, and they had very limited information. I mean, this was like the 90s. It's so interesting again, learning now how much more like, it's like all commercial and weird, and you can buy this more information and that more information. Do you want an audio interview and a personality test and all this stuff? And like, none of that existed. He was from a small regional cryobank. So, you had to be a patient there at the fertility clinic to like even buy their sperm. So it was like super small scale and limited. So we have like two pages and that's it. Like one page was like the basically spreadsheet of the list of potential donors that my mom was like looking through, mm-hmm. and one of them is circled and she wrote bingo on it, like with that one. So and funny. It's literally, yeah. And it's just like the donor number, like, height, weight, like race, hair color, eye color, interests, and like degree. He was an undergraduate student at University of Rochester at the time. So like what his degree was, and that's all that was listed. And then it was listed among like 10 other people on the page.
Right.
And then once you, I don't know if it was when you confirmed a pregnancy or probably a birth, you know, they send you a little bit more information. Again, it was like one page. And it was basically the same information. And then it did have like, I didn't even have like detailed medical information. It just had like mother, and it was like living, and then health status. And it was like healthy. And that's it. Like it literally, that's it. And it was like father, healthy. And then I think I had grandparents. And I forget if it mentioned if he had siblings as well. I think it did, that he had like, I think he has a brother and a sister. And again, it was just like healthy, and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was all that we had. And it's so crazy. Cause I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it, but you know, my donor ended up donating again. And there's a ton of siblings there. And, those parents have a lot more information just cause it was later, I guess. And they purchased a lot more information. So now we have information about who is the same person. But you know, not because that was information that I had growing up at all.
Right. Yeah. You kind of came across it in a roundabout way.
That's yeah. Amazing. So, but that was basically it. And that was, but I didn't, it was like interesting to see that information. But it was so limited, I guess. So it didn't really give me any kind of sense of like who he was or what he was like. And also, you know, he was an undergraduate student at the time. And by the time I was looking at this information, I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. So he's a totally different person than he was then too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, okay, this information that he gave at 19 or whatever
is not super,
is yeah, like, it's not relevant. Detailed enough to know anything anyway. Plus, even if it was, he's a totally different person now anyway. So,
right. Do you know why your mom's picked him like off of the, you know, 10 or whatever people that they had?
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because they've told me, and this was really my birth mom, who is my like biological mom, this was her project pretty much. Like it wasn't that my other mom like didn't want to have a kid, but I actually had a brother who was conceived with a known sperm donor that they knew, who died when he was 5 and a half that year that I was conceived. He died in August and I was
the sperm donor.
In December. No. I had a biological brother, actually half brother, because it was they had a known donor for him. So it's not the same donor. And he died that same year that I was conceived.
Oh my God.
So they were still, and it was like 2 months before. So they were still going through all of that. And I think my mom, who's not my birth mom, was kind of like, maybe we shouldn't do this like right now. And my mom was like, no, like I want to be a mom. I want to have a kid. So
did your other mom have the brother?
No, no. Oh. So they were both. So he was a full half sibling to me. My birth mom, like her eggs, and with this other guy who, like, they knew him, and he wasn't really part of the kid's life, you know, my brother's life, but did visit a few times. Like they did know who he was, and had a little bit of a relationship with him. But anyway, so this was very much like my birth mom's project of like, I'm gonna have a kid. So she was the one kind of going through the process, and I think she wanted someone that would look like her and that looked like her side of the family, which basically was like tall, blonde, blue eyes. And that was basically it, because they don't give you much more information. And then I don't think she had a strong preference for like particular like ethnicity or like geographic region background. Her family is German and Irish, and then the donor was German and English. I don't know how much, so it kind of fit, but I don't know if that was like important to her. So yeah, but she has told me too, that she like had these like crazy ideas of like, let me just like get some random other, like someone who looks nothing like us, or even just like a different race. She also had this idea of like wanting to buy multiple people and mix them together, which they don't allow you to do. But she has said that she wanted to do that, which I think is really weird. And I'm glad she didn't do that.
Yeah. I wonder what the reasoning so that she wouldn't know, but then it causes other issues.
I don't know. I'm really glad she didn't do it. I think she was in a really like, again, like her child had just died, and like, she was in like a weird headspace, I think. And I don't know what she was really thinking, but I'm really glad she didn't do that. Cause that's just, I think that's really weird and kind of unethical and bad. So I'm glad she didn't do it. And I'm glad it wasn't allowed. Although honestly, she probably could have pulled it off, cause it's so unregulated. She could be like, yeah, I totally
ship a bunch of stuff. And
yeah, like I totally used it and it didn't work. So now I want to try a different donor and just collect like four of them. And then just like, she probably could have done it if she wanted to, but I'm glad she didn't do that.
Yeah, me too.
So yeah, that's, that's basically, what happened, and it worked. I mean, like it, before I even knew anything about what he looked like as an adult, which I now do, I totally look like her family. So it, that part worked out. You know, there's only a few features that it was kind of like, oh, like that isn't from your side of the family, so that must be from the donor. But for the most part, it was like, yeah, you fit right in with, you know, you look like you're related, which I am. So it makes sense. But
did your parents have other kids after you?
No. So yeah, so I wanted siblings, at times, like, you know, between like age, like 5 and 10, I was like, I want a sibling, you know? And I think she did try, I think only once. And it was kind of like, if this works, it's like meant to be. If it doesn't work, it's not meant to be. And like, and then it didn't work. And so like, I didn't end up having any siblings. I mean, I have a ton of siblings, but, but I didn't at the time that I wanted one. I didn't get one.
Do you have siblings from that original donation, like that are closer in age to you that they picked from that original sperm bank?
Yes. So you mean other siblings from the original, like not like half siblings, like donor siblings, not like people that I was a family with. Yes. Yes. So, I mean, so this starts into the story of like how I found out basically everything about, you know, the second donation and all of that. I, like I said, I had friends growing up or people that I knew that had, that were donor conceived. And one of my friends from elementary school who was in that group with me told me, we went to high school together too, had mentioned the donor sibling registry to me. And I had not heard of it. It wasn't something that I was like looking for or anything like that. But she just said like, oh yeah, there's this thing. I found some siblings. It's cool. Like you could look at it, you know, see if your donor's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on, and you probably know, but you know, you can search by clinic or by a bank, and then, you know, they're listed by donor number. And so you can see like if your donor's already there or not. And he was already listed, and it designates who, like who's posting. It'll say that it's a parent or an offspring or the donor themselves. And so this was a parent and saying that she had two boys from this donor. It's like, oh, that's very interesting. Like he's already on there. Somebody had posted. And this was like 2016 that I went and looked for this. And her post was from 2011. So I was like, wow, this is like already kind of old. And, you know, who knows if she still has an account or if her email is active. But let me just message her and just see, cause this would be interested. She had said she was in the Buffalo area, which made sense.
Right. Cause it's local.
Yeah. Like local. Right. And just the two boys. So I was like, all right, well, let me message her. And you have to, you know, pay and make an account in order to message people, which is, kind of
smart
weird.
And annoying.
Well, yes. Smart if you're the one making the money, for sure.
Right.
So I ended up making an account just to like message her. And for me, it was kind of like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like, obviously I assumed that there were siblings, but I never really thought about, you know, how many there could be or where they might live or whatever. Like, I it had just never really been a big part of my life or my thinking. But I was like, hey, this person says she has two sons that I'm related to. Like, that would be kind of interesting. Maybe they would want to chat or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I emailed her or like, you know, messaged her through the site and didn't hear anything back from her. And about a year later, I went back and, you know, I hadn't heard anything. So I was like, I'll message her one more time and just see if she maybe got the thing, but ignored me, but now she might be interested. Who knows? Like, I'll just send her one more message. So now this was like 2018, kind of 2 years later, still hadn't heard anything from her. And I was kind of like, okay, like she's not interested, or her account is inactive, or that email is inactive. It's now been like almost 10 years since she posted. So like, there's so many reasons why she could not be responding. And it wasn't that important to me, but it was kind of like, whatever, now I'm out there. So, you know, whatever. And I added myself as well under his number saying like girl born 1995, whatever, in case someone mm-hmm. else. And now I had like a lifetime membership. So I was like, you know what, if anyone else comes on there and they want to message me, great. And then soon after that, so now this was like spring of 2018, when I messaged her for the second time and kind of was like, I don't know. I got like a message through the site from someone, and it wasn't from her. But this person was saying, hi, like, I think I have kids that, you know, that share your sperm donor. So I was like, okay. And obviously I assumed this is a parent of kids from who got sperm from Rochester Cryobank, you know, mm-hmm. with this donor number. And so we were emailing back and forth, and she was like, yeah. And my kids are 3 and 6 years old. And at the time I was 24, and I was whoa, like, I guess it's possible. I mean, you can freeze sperm for a long time, but that's really interesting. And then she was like, yeah. And actually, you know, we got our sperm from Fairfax Cryobank, not Rochester Cryobank.
Which is a big one. But I wonder how she found your thing. I'm assuming the number would be different.
It is different. Yes. So she, this woman is very interesting. She is very into researching and finding information about her children's donor. Mm-hmm. And so once I connected to her, it was kind of like an avalanche of information, because she had been doing all this research. I mean, she had his home address and home phone number. She knew where he worked. Like, found him on Facebook, like, you know, all the things. So, we were kind of like, whoa, I didn't know that was possible. Like, cause of course not that I thought about it, but if somebody asked me like, oh, can someone just go donate somewhere else? Like, I would have been like, no, of course not. They must have things in place to prevent that, right? Like,
no, they do not. Yeah.
No, they really don't. They had this profile, which again was way more detailed than mine was, because, you know, again, I guess, I don't know what it was like at Fairfax in the 90s, but at least in the early 2000s, when the older siblings of the younger siblings from Fairfax, because they're all at least 8 years, this was like 8 years later that he had donated again. So, mm-hmm. They are at least 8 years younger than me, but literally one was just born this summer from that group. So the range is huge.
So weird.
And there's so much frozen sperm and embryos. Like, it's more to come. Like, it's crazy. So they had this much more detailed profile, and she basically, they already knew that their donor was the same as someone who donated at Rochester, because many of those parents did ancestry DNA on their children. And one of those families' child matched with somebody else, not me, who was, I think, 23. She's like a year younger than me. And they were like, what is this? You're old. You're so much older. How could we be related? But like, ancestry is telling us that we're related. And that girl said, yeah, I'm donor conceived, but I was conceived out of Rochester Cryobank, like, you know, 23 years ago.
Right.
And so the way she was able to find me was that she knew already because of that contact with the girl, and she then stopped responding to them. So they chatted for a little bit. She gave them a little bit of information, the fact that she was from Rochester Cryobank, and then stopped responding. So they knew to look at Rochester Cryobank on donor sibling registry.
Right.
And then they had the profile and, you know, height, weight, eye color, hair color. Blah,
so
blah,
yeah,
blah.
It's like so a that's, process of.
So that's kind of what she did. She had basically been scouring donor sibling registry, looking for someone from Rochester, which it's a small bank. So when you go and search for Rochester Cryobank on donor sibling registry,
it's not a lot.
It's not like 10,000 people. It's like, I don't know, 100 people or whatever. So that was lit. She just was like, she was like, there was literally only one. And I think you can filter. She was saying like, I put in like the height, hair color, eye color, and there were like three people. And
I see,
you know, this one was the closest match. And so I messaged you, you know?
Wow.
And, yeah. So that's how she found me.
Right. So he donated in like the early to mid 90s at the smaller bank, and then years later donated again to a bigger bank. And then that stayed frozen and people are still using it even now.
Yes. And actually, if you go on Fairfax website and you put in his Fairfax number, which is a different number, like he still comes up. And right now, and it's only because that parent, the mom who contacted me, called them and told them about the situation with Rochester, that they only now sell him for siblings. But he is still available and they still have vials.
That is crazy. So
he donated a lot, but yes, he donated first in Rochester. He was an undergrad in Rochester. And then he went back to grad school, actually back at Rochester. And we don't know this, but I'm like, I bet he went to Rochester and was like, hey, do you want more sperm? And they were like, no, we don't do that. And so then he was like, well, let me go to this big bank that will send me all over the country. Cause he went back to University of Rochester for like to get an MBA. Huh. In the early two, so it was like he was in undergrad, I think it was like 92 to 96, and then he went back like 2001 2003 was his like master's, and the oldest of the younger kids were born in 2003, so he was donating like in 2002 or whatever while he was
right
doing his MBA.
That is wild. I wonder what I'm assuming the motivation is probably money, but I wonder if there's other like what the other reasoning behind that is. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I mean, now he is very affluent and I don't really know about his growing up exactly. He's from New York City and he grew up, what is that? I can't even remember what the name of the neighborhood is in like very South Brooklyn, where he grew up, but it's very like kind of working class, middle class, at least it was at the time. So I assume it seems like he grew up kind of like lower middle class. So it could have been financial and then it wouldn't be anymore, but he's not donating anymore. He is listed as inactive. So he's not donating anymore, which is good.
Yeah.
he's done enough, but, yeah, I don't know. I guess it was probably money. I mean, he was in school both times. So
right.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. It would help paper. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So how many kids do you know of that came from this second round of donation?
So there's more than 50 that we know of. I mean, I am not super involved in the like keeping track of everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some of the parents of those kids are like so into that and the ones who did all the research and stuff, and they keep track of whenever someone has another kid or whatever, and wherever they know where everyone lives and how many kids and all this stuff. But it's more than 50, certainly. And like I said, there's like, I mean, so many of them, cause they're mostly very young families.
Uh-huh.
So they're totally considering having more kids, most of them, because
right.
It's like they have a 3-year-old and they might want another kid, you know,
with the same donor.
Yeah. And then embryos too. And then there are some too that are done having kids, but also still have sperm and embryos that they're like trying to decide what to do with.
Embryos, like women that are like people that do IVF.
Yeah.
So whether it's,
yeah. Well, cause people made embryos like, you know,
oh, embryo. Oh, right. I'm like trying to, this whole thing is like, I'm reminded of how much I did not like retain from biology. Embryo, yeah. Meaning
is egg with the sperm. So they've already
yes.
And grown a little bit. They let it divide a certain number of times and then they can do genetic tests on it and different things to see if it's like a good quality embryo, whatever.
Right. Right.
But yeah. So
what
they
people
have
do with IVF. And then some people,
right. And you can freeze those for a long time too.
Right.
So you can
right.
Freeze the sperm just as sperm and then you can get eggs. And it's just for whatever reason they're doing IVF. Like my parents, or, you know, my mom didn't do IVF. She just did like the home turkey baster, like,
yeah, same.
You know, and just like got pregnant. But yeah, depending on their situation. And also some of them too are, I think, again, like I do not know all these people and I do not keep track of them, but some of them are like also egg donor, you know, for whatever
right.
reason, egg donor plus sperm donor embryos. And then those are frozen too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all.
And I'm assuming it's a mix of like gay couples and straight parents. Cause if there's 50
yeah.
kids, that's just like, that's a whole, you know, sample.
And that's all
side.
That they know. That's all that they know about. I mean, those are the people who have put themselves out there, because it's
right.
pretty easy to if you're an offspring or a family with an offspring, to at least for a while, I mean, it's pretty easy to just not be discoverable. Like if you don't do DNA testing on your kid.
And you're not on the registry. Yeah. And it's a 4-year-old kid. They might wait till they're 18 to be like, yeah, discoverable, or maybe they never will. And then you'll never know. Right.
But it'll be up to that kid. Maybe if they're, when they're an adult, if they want to or whatever. Yeah. And there, and it, there is definitely a range. I mean, again, like, I don't know the, all the numbers about how many of different types of families, but certainly it's a lot of gay families, but a few single parents. There's one interesting family. It's a, it was a single mom by choice who used the sperm donor and had twins. And then when the twins were like 2 or 3 years old, met a guy that now she married, and then they had a kid. So it's right. kind of like, it was like a single parent that then turned into a straight couple. So uh-huh. now they have another kid, like the third kid who is not related to any of
right,
us
right.
and the two that are. So it's a whole mixture. And then there are straight couples too, you know, and then there's a whole range too of not just the families, but like how they have handled it and how they're dealing with it, you know, in terms of when they're talking to their kids about it, if they have the choice to not talk about it, some of them have not. And we like know that.
Right.
Like there's families where it's like the parents tell the other adults, they don't know, don't say anything. Like they think their dad is their dad. Like just, it's crazy. It's just the wide range of all kinds of situations.
Yeah, that is wild. So you, you found out about this whole extra, like this whole other group of people because of the donor sibling registry. Right. This woman,
because the woman, everything. Because right, because of her reaching out to me, because I had put myself on there. Yes. And then
yeah,
she,
that's quite the,
and was kind of like, we think this is a thing. And I was kind of like, of course, like, whoa, because I didn't think that that was possible. Again, that it could have been from another bank. It was like, blew my mind that they were so little. And then we kind of just compared. I mean, I had my very limited profile and she had like, you know, 10 pages. She had bought like the full package
uh-huh.
of everything. And of course what we had matched, but like hers was so much more detailed. And actually the one thing that didn't match, which I had to then request an updated profile to just see, because what happened was that the donor's father actually died in between, you know, me being conceived and her kids being conceived. And so on my profile, it said that the father was alive.
Right.
And in hers, it said deceased. So we, but we reached back out to Rochester. We're like, hey, can we get, you know, an updated profile? And when they sent the update, it was now that he was dead. So we're like, all right, that was like the one piece that we weren't sure.
Right.
So we were pretty sure. And then of course we wanted to like confirm it fully. So I did Ancestry. And of course matched with all those parents who had done DNA on their kids. And so then it was like, all right, I'm stuck with you. Here I am. I've joined your clan.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about the idea of people with donor conceived kids doing the 23andMe type of home DNA testing on their children when they're underage, because it's like the opposite of the people that conceal the whole thing and don't explain. It's like the opposite of that, where it's like, they're sort of putting them out there in this like database of people where maybe they didn't want to be involved. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess that's allowed. Like you don't have,
I don't know if it's actually allowed, but it happens. You know, I don't know if when you do, when you like sign up for Ancestry, if they say like, I confirm that I'm 18 or 18, something, I don't know. But like, what are they going to do about it? But yeah, I mean, that's been something that has been really interesting for me to learn as I'm meeting some. I've only met like 4 of the families, so I haven't met anywhere near, you know, all of them, like about how they're all kind of handling it. And it is very weird. It feels like some of it has to do with like the times and like the fact that like in the 90s that was like not even really a thing that you could even conceive of, like that you would do DNA and that's how you would find your like
biological relatives at all.
So like, whereas early 2000s, it still wasn't like a huge thing, but it was something that was maybe on the horizon or something. So these parents who like, who actually, I mean, I'm closer in age to most of the parents than the kids, which is kind of weird. But you know, that they, that was like in their heads. So it was something they felt like they could do because it was more normal, I guess, in that mm-hmm. time. And in terms of doing all the research and all that stuff, like, I think my parents kind of would have felt like, and they wouldn't have done it anyway, because I think they were very much like, this is not our journey. Like, if you're interested in it, we'll support you, but like, it's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of the parents of these younger kids are like, it's about us and we need to do all this stuff because we
feel
some certain way, we feel guilty about how we did it or we, whatever. And so we're going to do all this research and do all this stuff to get our kids out there and find the siblings and make them be friends. And
right. Because like, yeah, you don't want to deny them. Yeah.
But it's just like, but what if they don't want that, but they don't even know, cause they're like 5 and it's just
right.
You know,
yeah.
It's a whole thing, but
young,
But I wonder if it's like just because of the fact that it was available.
Right.
You know, like if my parents were like, we really want to find everything out we can about the donor, like what would they have done? Like there wasn't even really the internet, like there's no social right. media and there's no DNA testing. Like if in 2002, if they were like, oh, our 7-year-old wants to know about their donor, like what would they have even done?
Right.
So the answer would have been, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Right.
And those whereas, banks, like, they don't tell you with like, if you call and ask about stuff, like they, which is fair. Cause it's, you know, part of the contract, but.
Right. But that's what I mean. I wonder if it just had to do with like what was available. Whereas like, you know, in 2010, when this, you know, parent had a baby, she had the option to do all this research and find out all this information. So I almost wonder if that, like the availability of it, like drove the desire to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Like if you're given more information, you're sort of like, well, I kind of want to just find the person. Yeah.
Right. Or if you're already feeling a certain way about it, or you feel guilty about it, or you feel like, what if my kids hate me for what I did, like how I made them or something. And then it's available to find out information, like you're going to do it.
You're right. Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't know.
Oh, that is just, so does the, your donor know about this whole,
like... So not that we know of. So no one has contacted him. I'm the only one of the like older group that is interested or in contact with the other group. Like I said, there was the one girl who they had first matched with who talked to them for a little bit and then stopped talking to them. And then we actually did find the Buffalo family, the woman that I had originally messaged on donor sibling registry.
Mm-hmm, with the two boys.
We were able to guess her name just from her sort of her username, and we did a little Facebook digging and found someone who looked like it could be her. And I messaged her on Facebook and she answered me and was, and said that like, yeah, she had only done like a 1-year membership to DSR. And so that's why she didn't answer me. But she was happy that I reached out, whatever. And then of course we spilled the beans to her of like, and also by the way, it's not just me and maybe like a handful of other kids from Rochester. There's this whole other group. He donated again, you know, the whole story. And so she knows all of that and she has told her kids that, but they haven't, her kids are, they're like 22 and 19, something like that. So they know about it, but at least as of now, they haven't expressed interest, or she hasn't told us that they're interested in talking to us, knowing us, whatever, yeah. You know, they know that information now, and they knew they were donor conceived already, but, of course none of us knew the whole two donations and stuff and all the extra siblings. So
yeah, that's the first of the, from my stalking of this Facebook group and other forums and stuff, that's the first time I've heard, because I thought about the theory of what if you donated two separate times to different places, but yeah, that's the first time I've heard of it actually happening and producing that many kids. That's pretty
yeah. wild. Yeah. Well, and I wonder, like when he went to Fairfax and applied to be a donor, they must ask them, right? Have you ever donated sperm before? There's no way they don't ask them, right? Like they have
to. Seems like a logical question.
And then, so what did he say?
Right.
If he said yes, would they have accepted him? I don't think so. So did he say no?
No. Yeah, that's weird.
And then isn't that like fraud? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, or maybe he said yes and they were like, we don't care because he said, well, it was the small regional, whatever. Like, who knows?
Right.
But I'm curious about that. Cause I'm like, there's no way they didn't ask. Right. I think there's no way.
Especially cause it was kind of later on and it's a big bank and it's yeah. more of an established thing.
Especially cause it's supposed to be their job as the bank, because there's no real regulation. It's their job to hold, like do the record keeping as best that they can, which is bad.
Not well.
Yeah. Not well, but you know, so I don't know, but I wonder that. I'm like, he either lied or they didn't ask him. And both of those things are bad.
Yeah, they are. Huh. So you guys know who he is, but no one reaches out.
Right. So the, you know, the parents can't, right. And then I'm the only adult, who is in any contact with anyone else. So I'm really the one who could.
What do you mean the parents can't?
Well, because he was anonymous. So they're not allowed to reach out to him because he was an anonymous donor and they signed a contract that they will not reach out to him.
Oh, so that's a part of the contract. So if you somehow yeah. found out the person, you can't.
Well, you're not even supposed, I mean, they can't actually legally keep you from doing research, but like, you're not supposed to try, at least right. according to what these parents have told me, like they're not supposed to have to try to find him.
Huh.
and they definitely are not allowed to contact him at all. And there's been stories. It was like a couple of years ago I saw, I don't remember, but it was some mom who I think did Ancestry, like did the test on her daughter, and they found that she did research, found the donor, and she contacted him, and like the bank sued her, and they, and she had, vials of sperm that she had purchased that were like being stored by them, and they revoked them from her.
Oh, wow.
Like it was a whole thing. Huh. Yeah. So it is like, I mean, apparently the contracts are enforceable, that if
right.
a parent reaches out, I mean, again, they can't really stop you from doing research, but if any of the parents reached out,
I think they
would get sued.
That makes sense. Well, yeah,
so
I
it's
guess
the
I
kids who can.
Right. Once and they're 18, or I wonder.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I assume there's, if a 7-year-old was like, I want to write a letter, but then it's like, where'd you get that information from? How
right,
did you know
right.
his address? Oh, right. Well, because my mom yelled, oh, she yelled, oh, that was not allowed. Like, so I think it's a, at this point, okay. what we think about what we can potentially do is that if you're over 18, if you want to contact him, you could. So yeah. that's me at this point.
Right. Cause you're the only one who's in contact with
this. Who's in contact that's older. Huh. And I'm not interested, but they, oh my God, they want me to. Oh my God. Some of these mothers are.
Yeah. That's kind of a weird, cause
and
it's
that's
weird
why I
enough
joined
to interact
the Facebook
with siblings.
Group.
Yeah.
If I'm going to tell you the reason I joined the Facebook group was because the mother who contacted me, who really wants someone to contact the donor. And I had told her that I wasn't interested. And she was basically like, well, maybe you should join these Facebook groups and hear these other people's stories about how distressing it is for them to not know. And maybe that will make you want to or
uh-huh.
something. And I was kind of like, all right, lady, I'll join these Facebook groups. Like, I mean, like, sure. So that's why I'm in there, but it hasn't changed my mind. I'm still not interested. I mean, of course somebody will, there's enough of us. Someone is going to either want to, or their parents are going to basically make them.
Yeah. Once they turn
when they're 18. So it's going to happen, but it won't be me.
That's fair. I mean, it's your right to know and right to not know and not want to get involved with the whole thing. Cause
I mean, yeah. he's married. He has 2 children of his own, which it still blows my mind that like, cause I, like I said, I've met some of the half siblings that like, I am exactly the same amount related to his children. Like I don't feel like I'm his child, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are his children. Those 2 that he has with his wife are his children, but it just blows my mind that like, I'm just as related to them
mm-hmm.
as I am to like these half flip siblings that I've met.
Yeah.
Cause like I know them and I'm like, have, you know, spent time with them and, you know, I guess I feel like I'm related to them. I don't know. But I don't feel related to his kids at all, but it just blows my mind that it's like the same relationship.
Yeah. And you're just as related to those kids' dad really as they are, which is
yeah.
weird.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. That's so weird.
It's weird. Cause
I
have
feel connected
that
to him at all.
Uh-huh. Cause I have my donor has one son, like the normal way, I guess, who's older than the whole group of us. Like he had donated sperm when his son was like 2 or 3 years old.
That's really interesting. And he was, why do you, I mean, you've spoken to yours, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you listen to the second one, we kind of get
it. Oh, okay.
I mean, I still find it a
sorry,
little.
Sorry. I'll listen to the podcast.
No. It's no.
God,
well,
why
did
you
your homework?
No,
I'm kidding.
No. Yeah.
It's like,
no, but it's true.
It is. I still find it a little bit like I was still like, huh, that's so sort of interesting.
That, yeah. Cause I have not heard of that. I mean, because it seems like the most common situation for sperm donors is a lot of them are in college. Because
right.
I remember when I was in college, I mean, they like at the little campus shuttle stops and the little bus thingy, there'd be like, donate eggs, donate sperm. Like,
yeah,
not from my school, but just from whatever company. I mean, like, you know, do you want money, college student? Yes, of course I do.
Yes, yes.
You know, and so that's like, so, you know, of course, most of those people did not have kids yet. And then they go on to have a life and often get married and have kids.
And then probably
fact,
don't want to
so,
have a lot to do with the people that they kind of help create back.
Yeah.
When you were in
but
college.
Like, which in a way makes sense because it's like, you were 19 or 20 years old and what did you were not thinking that far about your future and
right.
how this might impact you in 10 or 15 years. You know, you're just like, I want some money to like buy beer or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, like.
It's yeah. weird to feel like the product of sort of like an impulsive decision perhaps, or like that is a weird way to think of it. Yeah, he was yeah. mine was like 38 39.
Oh, wow. It's so interesting that they even allowed it, because from what I've seen it's like they want that like young fit, like, you know, maybe it depends, I don't know. but they want, I mean, it's like eight, like 18 to 30 is like the,
Yeah. They retire.
And mostly like 18 to 25.
They retired him at 40, which is what he said, which made me laugh. But
yeah, like, that's the other thing. Cause my daughter's over 40 now. So the fact that they are still, I mean, I guess it's just, but he's not
the sperm is from when he was
right. The sperm is when he was like 25. You're right. It's just been frozen for 20
it is years. Really weird.
Yeah, cause that's what I'm saying. Like if you go on Fairfax site for him, like he's still, my guy is like still there, but it does say like in bold, but from what I found out, because again, this mom called and also called Rochester to tell them about when we found out, like, hey, he donated before. Did you know that? Of course, neither of them knew, or they say they didn't know, but I assume they probably didn't know. I don't know how Rochester would have known because it was after.
Right.
But, and that's when they like, cause up until that point though, they were just still selling him to anyone from Fairfax.
Right. Which is,
and then once they found out about the Rochester thing, they probably were like, oh crap, like this is now
become a
bigger
mass
situation. So we need to like, we need restrict it. Yeah. So now it says in bold letters, like at the top of the description, like siblings only call for availability. Like, But the fact now that he's still on the website is like,
I know mine too. And I didn't think of that. I thought that it just meant, cause I had always known, or for the past couple of years, I realized that he was still on the California Cryobank. Like if you look up the number, he still comes up. And I just thought that that was because like, it's a, like a historical log, like
you they never take it off, but
and then
you can't add him to your cart.
That's what I thought, but you can, you know, there's a couple of vials that are for the general public, and then there are like three that are just for sibling use. But it's like, this man is 65, like why would you mean, but but again, this firm is 39
or whatever.
So I guess, but I can't foresee somebody picking it out of like all of the profiles that have way more information and have like, you know, a personal essay and the photos and all of this stuff.
Yeah, like, that was super weird because like I got to then see all of that from the Fairfax, you know, they shared everything they had, the whole the audio interview and all that stuff. That was super, it was interesting, but it was weird because I had never had that information.
Right.
Yeah, that was very strange to get all of that later. Right. I guess.
And then to be able to like, because I guess these moms have done the research, like they know the guy, so you could see him on the internet and whatnot. Yeah, it's kind of a surreal, it's a surreal feeling of being like, that's the guy.
Because like, I think I had so like it was so not personal to me at all for so long, to then get all this extra information about him as like a real human being, like it, like I feel like I do feel like he's a person now, and I think about the fact sometimes that, I mean, he works in New York City and I live in New York City and he lives in Long Island close to New York City. So it's not a zero possibility that we could randomly run into each other, like be on the subway together. Cause he literally, I mean, I'm currently and have been for the last 2 years, like completely working from home, but like whenever I have to go back to the office, it's in the financial district and he works on Wall Street. And so whenever I have to go back to work, I mean, it's a big city. It's millions of people. It's very unlikely, but it's not zero. You know, that, you know, we could randomly write. So like all these little pieces in the audio interview and the essay and the personality stuff and all this thing that I, the more detailed family profile and all the stuff that I got to see, I think it did make me feel like he was a real person more than I had for the first 18, 20 years of my life.
Just like a column in a spreadsheet. Yeah.
Yeah. And just someone that I didn't know. And he was just out there and, you know, and I would never meet him was kind of, and I didn't really care to, you know, so it's very weird. And then seeing a picture, that was always the one thing I feel like growing up, like it wasn't super important to me, but it was like, if anyone asked me, like, do you care? Do you want to know who he is? Or do you want to know any information? The one thing would be like, I would be curious what he looked like sort of as an adult, like to see again, what features we potentially shared. Cause they also had a baby picture of him. That was part of their package. We didn't have any pictures. So, but not adult pictures. That was from Facebook, you know, now that they, now that they found him, we can see him on Facebook and what his wife looks like and what his kids look like all from Facebook. But, and he's also on YouTube. It's all very funny, but no, so that the one thing that I am happy to have now is just that I now know what he looks like. And it's very funny to be like, oh yeah, that little, I mean, like no one in my mom's side has like the chin dimple thing. So I always knew that was from the donor, you know, and then like our smiles are very similar, which is kind of just interesting because it's like, oh yeah, that's part of my face right there is on your face.
It is weird.
So yeah. And that was basically it. All this other stuff was kind of like, okay, this is like interesting, but you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Cause yeah. It's also different because you're sort of more of like a person as like being an older, not older, obviously, but older than like a 4-year old.
Yeah.
So that there's like an emotional piece of like, as to why you might not want to be reaching out to this person. Whereas these parents are super curious and really want to reach out. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Like I was sort of already like, I don't know, settled and secure mm-hmm. in like who my family was, who I was related to, who I cared about, like, you know, and I wasn't, I wasn't insecure about any of that where I was like looking for anything else. So like when all this information came available, it was kind of like, okay, but he's still a stranger to me. Like, it just doesn't really mean anything to me. And I think you're right that it like, if I was younger, potentially it might've meant more to me. I don't know. Just cause mm-hmm. I was sort of beyond the point where it was like, I'm looking to find who I am and who I belong to and all of this stuff. Like I was already done yes. with that.
Yeah. I think that's what motivated me a lot.
And there's all these 40-year-olds who are like, I don't know.
But like they really want to find the person.
Has to do with secrecy. So then it makes more sense. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah. I think if you never know, and then you find out when you're an adult, you would just want to know everything at that point. Right. But yeah, the idea of being like, I was 15 when I suddenly, I don't even really understand why I did it, but I became suddenly like, I'm going to figure this out. And so I don't know if I broke the contract because I didn't sign a contract because I didn't.
You're allowed to do anything you want. Yeah.
Right. So I was 15, but I think it was very much motivated by the fact that like, I didn't know anybody that had a donor. I didn't know people that had two moms really. And I didn't know who I was. And I felt very different from my parents. And I don't know. So I think that that's probably what motivated that. But yeah, I could see if you've always known and you're in your 20s sort of being like a little bit indifferent to the
whole yeah thing. Yeah. And it was weird too, because I sometimes think about like, you know, all this research that these parents have done for these young kids and sort of like how I would have maybe felt if that had been my parents mm-hmm. when I was younger. And it would have felt weird to me that they did all of that, because again, it's like, what if I didn't care and you kind of did it for me? And I don't know. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, since now I know some of these kids, like watching them grow up and kind of how it goes for them. Cause they're going to have all this information from as far back as they can remember.
Right.
And they're going to know a lot of these half siblings because their parents were kind of orchestrating all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that going to be better for them? Or is that going to be more challenging because they don't get to go through their own process? I don't know.
Right. Or will it be that it's normalized so they don't, it's kind of more like having a known donor, I guess, where you sort of know the information about the person, you know, the siblings, because it seems like it would be really overwhelming and hard if you're sort of already like an adult and you find out that you have, like, say you had 50 siblings that were your age. It's like, where do you start? Why would you message one over the other? It's like, these are real people.
Right, because they're all just strangers to you.
Right. So like, yeah. How do you even navigate that? And what do the relationships mean? Because obviously you can't be as close to 50 people as you would be like a typical sister or brother or whatever. So that's right. Difficult. So like, I met one of my half sisters when I was 8, because my parents and her mom also, they both went on to California Cryobank. She's like a month older than me. So we met like a long time before I met the other one. So I do feel sort of a special connection, or I feel closer to her than I do the ones that I have known for way less time, just because like we grew up together in sort of a cousin-y way, we would get together. But yeah, I don't know. So maybe these younger kids will have more of that, where it's like they kind of grew up around each other, so they're closer. So I kind of get it, but I also feel
like, I just mean, I guess more if I wonder about like the whole stuff about the donor and all the information.
Yeah,
and just like, here he is, here's all the, like, it just, I don't know, it just feels a little forced to me. But you know, who knows? Right. Maybe they'll, I mean, like, I have a good relationship with the ones that I've met, and they have good relationships with each other. And I think there's nothing wrong with,
are they like 5?
More... Yeah. Some of them are like 5.
So you have a good relationship.
Yeah. I have a good relationship. I mean, like, you know,
with them. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like, we play and we talk about kindergarten, like, you know, but
I wonder if they understand who you are.
Yeah, they do. And I think it's because, I mean, certainly the ones that I have, the ones I have the closest relationship are the ones who, the mom who reached out to me, who they were 3 and 6 at the time, and now they're 6 and 9, going to be 10. And then the single mom that I mentioned who had the twins, and they are 16. And then has the other kid who I think is 12 or 13, with the husband that then she married. Right. So we're not related to him. And then another, single mom who had five boys, all with
my God.
And the oldest there, I think, is also 16, and the youngest is like four or something.
Yeah. So he must have donated a lot of stuff.
Oh, he donated a lot, and he was popular.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you look at his profile, you understand why, like, you know, he's like good looking and has like really popular traits, and he had an advanced degree. He was like in Mensa, like, you know, I mean, the things that parents are like, oh, we want to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And some of them are, it's pretty funny. Some of them are like pretty obsessed with the Mensa thing, and they're like,
oh, the Mensa thing. Yeah, that's funny. The Mensa
thing like causes some parents to like,
yeah, my mom always referred to him as the SAT score instead of the donor ID because she could never remember. And I'm like, that's so obnoxious and annoying.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Like, why some of the parents are happy to have like Mensa babies.
Yeah.
Like,
my God.
This is weird. Like,
It's like,
ew. Yeah. Or then there was one that like was upset that like their kid didn't get into like gifted and talented, and they were like upset that like the money they spent on like the Mensa sperm like didn't pay off.
It was
like,
that just would make me feel so shitty. Like,
I know.
Like, I did feel shitty with like the, like, you know, my SAT score was not anywhere near, you know, so it's like, God, my,
I know,
you didn't get it's what you so paid for a little bit. It's so
weird to
just
see how a little bit, and I'm just like, really, like, this is your child. I don't know.
Yeah,
like, it's just like, weird to see like just how everyone handles everything. Cause I feel like I had such a good experience with it, and then just seeing just how different it can be, and we'll see. But yeah, it's weird. So.
Yeah. That's so, but you
it's
have
good to, it's good to know the ones that I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think some of the parents, because some of them are very and well, again, it's mostly all the parents that I deal with, because they're, you know, the other ones are little, but they, you know, they feel this strong thing of like, I really want my kids to like have this relationship with the person that they're related to. And for me, it's like, I feel like I know them, and I have a relationship with them, and I care about them, but it's not because I'm related to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that still doesn't feel like the ultimate
reason.
Yeah. Because, and maybe it's like, you know, gay families, like we tend to have a lot more, I mean, I don't know if this was your experience, but at least in my family and other gay families that I knew growing up, like, tend to be more non-traditional in a lot of different ways in terms of like who they consider their family, and like,
yes,
tend to have more like people that they call their family that are not family, you know, not genetically related. And that's just all more normalized in general.
Yeah. Like a family of friends type of a thing.
Yeah. And like, just, yeah. And so maybe that's why, cause that was just like, my default was kind of like, your family is the people that love you and that you love and that you kind of choose. And sometimes you're related to them and sometimes you aren't. And mm-hmm. it's like, that doesn't really change much about the relationship. So like, but some of these parents, like when I tell them that, like, that I don't love their kids because I'm related to them. I love them because now I know them as human beings and they're great. And so that's why I care about them.
Mm-hmm.
That like doesn't, like, they don't get that, because sometimes they feel like the genetics is so important. And that's why they're like doing all this research and trying to connect to all the donor siblings. So it's just so interesting how people's like, I guess, mindset and their own
experience
growing up, like what is so important to them.
Yeah. What is family exactly? And what is the point of reaching out to each other? Because I guess it's true, like I'm more inclined to reach out or contact or like maintain a relationship with these people that are my family because they're my half siblings than I would be to some other stranger that I found on the internet. So there's something about it, but it's mm-hmm. also, yeah, it is the time and the getting to know the person.
Probably, like, you know, like, I mean, look, there's 50 of them, whatever, and most of them are younger, but like, even for example, the older ones, like, say I, you know, was able to connect with some of the older ones that we would actually be more like peers, you know, probably some of them we would have things in common, and some of them, you know, in terms of interests or just whatever, like values or whatever, things that would normally make us want to be friends or not be friends. And it's like, maybe we would have slightly closer relationship because we know we're related, but I feel like it would be, if we had similar interests, I don't know. I think if there were older ones that I found or that we, you know, connected with and we had similar interests, yeah, we might end up being friends, but that would be almost for the same reason that I would be friends with anyone else. Like people uh-huh. that I met in school or something, because we have similar interests and they're fun to hang out with or something. I don't know. I guess I haven't had that experience yet because none of them are either we haven't found them or they're not interested. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting if that ever does happen, to see like what that feels like. Cause I think it is different given how young the other ones are, that like we can't have that same kind of relationship.
Right.
Really? Cause they're kids.
A regular type of sibling.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I don't know. I can't say for sure that it won't feel different, but I'm just imagining if like one of the 20 somethings wanted to like be friends, it would just be like, would we make good friends aside from the fact that we're related?
Uh-huh.
And if yes, then great, let's be friends. And if not, then like maybe we won't be friends and we're still related and whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, what does that mean? Right. So there are 20 somethings from the Rochester group.
Yes. So there's the girl that got originally matched, which is how the Fairfax crew found out about the Rochester crew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually so funny because I wonder if she had not done DNA, because I don't think any of us would have necessarily tried to, like, we wouldn't have necessarily done. And I think it's the times, like, I wouldn't have thought to, like, I should do DNA testing to see if I have siblings. Like,
mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because when I was growing up, that wasn't a thing. So it wouldn't have been in my head, but.
I feel like it's old people and then people that are younger, like not the middle group that are like really obsessed with ancestry and stuff like that.
Right. So it's like these people who are like in their 30s and 40s, like the middle age, these people who have these younger kids. I don't know where I was going with any of this, but yeah. I was explaining how many, like who the different people are from the Rochester group. So there's the one girl and she was 23 when I was 24. So she's probably 25 now.
Probably.
And, well, I mean, yeah, I think she was 23.
No, I know.
Maybe she died. We don't know. No. I assume she's 25. Cause I don't know when her birthday is too, but anyway. And then there is the two boys from the mom in Buffalo who I've spoken to their mom and just on Facebook. And, you know, she's told them, but they haven't wanted to connect with us. And then there was another family. So I'm the oldest that we like know,
mm-hmm.
but there, when my mom bought sperm, you know, they tell you like, if there's been live birth before, and they told, and of course they could lie, I guess, but they did say that there had been live birth. So we're pretty sure that there is at least one older than you. We did find another one of these moms. Like, I was not looking for them. I don't care. They're doing all this research. They found a family that they thought potentially could be that other family that looks like they have like 5 kids. And one of them, they showed me a picture of this family and I was like, sure, I don't know. They're blonde. Maybe they're related. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
At least one of them, or maybe a couple of them looked like they could be older than me. So I was like, all right, back. And then some of them were younger. Cause you know, they, even though they bought sperm first, some of their kids are younger, right? Because like frozen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they even reached out to that family or what happened with that, but other than that, so there's like potentially 4 families that we know about
from the first.
Which seems probably around correct. I mean, we don't know, but it was such a small, like you had to be a patient there, you know? So who knows, you know? And I think if you asked me like before I knew about all of this, you know, in high school or something, like, well, how many siblings do you think you have, you know? And I would probably have said, I don't know, maybe a handful to 10-ish, mm-hmm. like something like that, because it was, you know, it's a smaller area. You had to be a patient there. And I also just had no concept of the fact that sometimes there are hundreds.
Yeah. So I did not realize that until recently. I really thought
like
that
I
was
never
like
would
a Hollywood
have
thing.
So
yeah.
So that's, I mean, that would be my guess. But also again, I think it's less likely that any of those kids have done DNA testing, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we're less likely to find them, or it'd be more difficult to find them. They're less likely to put themselves out there. Mm-hmm. And I think for the reasons that we talked about before, like if you're already in your 20s, and you knew about this and like, right, unless it was a lie and you found out in your 20s, then you might want to put yourself out there and find all this information. But if you knew,
like, and if you already have siblings that you grew up with,
if you already had siblings, like, or you just, it never really bothered you or you didn't really care, like, why would you put yourself out there? You know, which is basically where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
you kind of did it on a whim.
I kind of did it on a whim. And cause it was already like, she was already there and it had been a long time. And I was like, well, this could be interesting, you know? So yeah, I feel like there might be more than we think, because I think it's less likely that they put themselves out there. But I really do think it's less. Like, I don't think it's naive to say that they're probably a lot less from there.
Mm-hmm.
But we just also don't know.
Just because of the time frame.
Just because of the time, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So are there people that are in the group of the younger siblings that are not from your area?
Oh, they're all over the place. Yeah, yeah. They're all over the country. Cause I mean, Fairfax, you just go online and like put in your address and like, they'll mm-hmm. ship it to your doctor.
They ship
like,
it so, to you. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, there are a lot in the Northeast, but I think it's just, you know, there are more people in the Northeast. So it's kind of just statistically, but yeah, they're in Texas, they're in Utah, they're in California, they're in plenty, you know, several in New York, Pennsylvania. I don't even know, like the one mom who keeps track of all of it could tell me exactly, you know, where, but yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
And they do meetups, like some of them, you know, and now with COVID, it's kind of, cause you know, this all came together kind of in 2018. And then I met a few of them in 2019 and then COVID happened. So normally they do like every couple of years, they'll do like a reunion somewhere in the country and as many people as can come, you know, go to wherever they've done them, you know, like in Texas, cause it's kind of in the middle of the country and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I haven't participated in any of that yet cause it hasn't happened, but you know, a lot of them are in contact with each other, except for the family that's lying to their child. They don't come to the reunions.
I feel like I'd be really mad if I found out not only that this whole thing had happened and that the person I thought was my dad was not my genetic dad, but that they had like this whole spreadsheet of people that they knew existed and like had been contacting and they were like, well, we didn't really want to explain, you know. That's going to be a rude.
I know. I can't, I mean, but it's also like, I mean, and this kid is, I think he's like 12 to 13 ish. It's like, at what point is it like, should someone tell him? Like, but then it's like, but it's also their family and their life. So you don't
right,
want
yes.
like,
somebody's
it's
prerogative.
Just so
yeah.
weird. Right. It's just so weird. Cause it's like, you know, something about this person that's like,
that they don't
altering,
know.
And then they don't know it. And like, you feel like it's really unethical that they are not, that they don't know, but also it's not your place, but also like, yeah. Uh-huh. So I don't know
yeah,
what's going to happen with that.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day you'll host all of these children at your future.
Yeah. When I'm like 40 and they're like 20, we'll do something. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be funny.
It's like, it's crazy.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very weird. It's mostly very weird to be closer in age to the parents than to the kids.
Yeah.
Because we're way more like peers. Like when I, you know, whenever, like at the times that I've met them, it's like, oh, you're only like 6 years older than me and I'm 16 years older than your kids or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, yeah, it's weird. So we're like friends, but I'm like part of the kid group, but like not.
Right. Yeah. It's like sit at the kids table or at the...
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's very weird.
Yeah. Well, this is definitely, it's an interesting, not that any of these stories are not interesting, but this felt like a unique situation. So I'm glad you came and talked to me.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was interesting to learn about and to experience, and I'm sure it will continue to be interesting.
Yes.
Going yeah. forward, because there's so many people involved. So
yeah, there really is.
When you're dealing with a lot of people and different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
things happen, so
yeah
and so now I think the next big thing will be like who decides to contact him and when and what happens, what is his
yeah.
reaction,
yeah yeah, who has to tell him,
who decides that they want to, and how does that go, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody would react, because it's weird to find out that you have 50 siblings, but to find out that you have 50 kids,
right? Well, and you don't like, we don't know how do they prepare people. I don't know, especially, I mean, in the 90s, I'm sure they were saying you're anonymous, you'll stay anonymous. Right.
Uh-huh.
But like in 2002, 2003, like what were they telling him?
Mm-hmm.
And surely now, I mean, he's not an idiot, right? He's in Mensa. He knows that whatever they told him, it doesn't apply anymore.
Right. Cause anonymous sperm donation, like it can't even exist anymore because
right.
of the genetic testing.
And the other thing is none of his very close family members, well, they may be on, I think on Ancestry, when you do DNA, you can decide if you want to allow yourself to be matched, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that his close family members have, and they have it on private, but his closest family members is like, I think I share like 500 CMs with this person. And I forget if we know who she is. She's like his cousin or something. So it's pretty like no one super close to him, like his siblings or his parents or him, are on there. So I wonder, is it just that they happen to have not done it? But that seems unlikely because like, I don't know, 1 in 5 people are like on these DNA sites now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if he's
intentionally
he's told people, right? I wonder, I mean, I assume he's told people I mean, some members of his family must know that he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he has warned people like, don't be public on these things, because you'll match
because
with,
then
like,
people,
you know. And then I'm like, what does his wife know?
Yeah,
you know, we don't know. Little... I hope he's told her.
Yeah, because that would be really freaky.
So, yeah, it's interesting to know, like, what does he think about all of it, and what will his reaction be? When it's not even if, like, someone's going to contact
uh-huh. him. Yeah, it's just a matter
it's
of
it's just time. A matter of when, especially because so many of the parents want it. So, like, even if someone doesn't want to, like, one of the parents will get them to do it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a weird thing when some parents and some kids want to be involved with the donor and contacting him and maintaining a relationship, and the other parts of the family don't want to. We've gone through some of that with my mm-hmm. with my group, but not anything too super extreme. But
yeah, I mean, when somebody does, I mean, I'm not like, it's not like I never want to know who he is, or I would, you know, if he was open to it, I would be happy to speak to him. It's just like,
right. Yeah. You're not really against care. The idea, it's just, but it's yeah, more like you're
yeah,
not
but there might be though. I mean, I'm sure that there are parents who are against it. I already know that there are parents who are against it. And then they're the ones that are lying to their kids. So they would be very against it. And then probably some of the kids at that point, you know, as they're getting older, might not want to be involved. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, we'll see. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
To see what happens.
We'll do an update. And
yeah, right. We should, like, in 10 years, like a little, what has happened.
I'm still sitting here, like, talking about this in 10 years now.
Yeah. 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 So funny.
Yeah. Well, okay. This was fun.
Yeah, totally.
It was really nice to meet you.
Sure. Well, I'm going to finish listening to the first one, and I'll listen to the one. I definitely want to hear the conversation with your donor. That seems very interesting.
Yeah, it's funny.
And I'll keep up with it, because now I'm curious. I think it's cool for me because, like I said, I don't really have anyone that's my age in terms of my sibling group. So it's interesting to talk to other people who are of a similar age.
Closer,
about,
yeah.
Yeah, just like what your experience was like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all I have is like the two extremes of like, it's the parents of these little kids who have very extreme, like, and differing views about it, but I don't really, that doesn't hold much weight to me, because it's not like they feel really strongly about it, but it's not about them. They're not the kids. Like, I don't,
mm-hmm.
it like annoys me a little bit that they're so like crazy about
it.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not about you. And then, yeah, and then it's the people in the Facebook groups who a lot of them are a lot older than me. And
right.
A lot of their situations are that they were lied to, and that wasn't my experience at all.
Right.
So it's interesting to like meet and speak
people
to
that have
from other
similar.
People who are like of a similar age, and then who at least are not in the place of like, oh, it was my mom's doctor who like falsely inseminated me in the
70s. That is like, so like A, horrible, and B, like, a thing that has happened more than once. And like, that is just
apparently a lot, but I don't know how to relate to that story at all. Like, I think,
right. Cause
terrible,
it does it. Yeah. It's the same like, idea, but it's totally not what happened to me.
It's not. And then again, it's like, you have such strong feelings about it. And it's like, it sounds like it's because your story was like very traumatic, and that makes complete sense, you know, but I don't know. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. I feel that way too. Reading some of the posts in the Facebook group, like I like reading them, and I feel like sympathetic, or like, it's like, wow, that's so, but yeah, it does. I don't have, it's not like, oh, I relate to everything I see in the group, because I do not. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It is interesting though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Well, that's why this is such a cool project, because you're going to get like a broad range of mm-hmm. people's experiences, which I think is so cool. And just,
yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah. Let me know.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing Morgan's story and perspective. This was the first interview that I did, so I was pretty nervous, but I ended up having a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, and I just think she was really awesome, and hopefully you enjoyed listening. Be sure to follow the podcast wherever you are listening to automatically see when a new episode comes out on Thursdays. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, DM me on Instagram, etc., etc. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.